Let that nigga try me, try me. I'ma get his whole motherfucking family. And I ain't playing with nobody. Fuck around and I'ma catch a body. Let a nigga try me, try me. I'ma get his whole motherfucking family. And I ain't playing with nobody. Fuck around and I'ma catch a body. Bitch, I got the Mac or the 40. Turn a bitch to some macaroni. Tell me how you want it, I'm on it. I really mean it, I'm just not recording.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Tariqa Lee Radio Show. That's that Dez Loaf right there from the Bay. That's Try Me. What y'all know about that? Glad to have everybody tuning into the show. We're going to chop up some good game. The phone number is 818-850-5404, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about some deep stuff tonight, but before we do that, we're going to take a very quick commercial break, so don't you go nowhere. We will be right back right here on Tariqa Lee Radio. The Runway Boys Flight Club, that's an international clothing company that represents the travel lifestyle. Founded in 2005, the Runway Boys started as a group of active duty Air Force members. And them using their international connections, the group would start producing clothes for men, women, and children. The planes, hotels, parties, the people all across the world became the inspiration behind the logo and the brand. Visit runwayboys.com. That's runway, B-O-Y-Z.com. And enter the promo code RUNWAYBOYS for 10% off on your purchase. You know, one of my favorite songs back in the day from Usher is called Let It Burn. But what you don't want to let burn are your genitals. That's because casual sex is on the rise right now, and so are STDs. And yes, it can happen to you. You can't be so trusting with people out here. And you want to get yourself checked out. So you need to go to stdhometestkit.com and order their in-home STD test kit. You can test at home and you can get the results at home. And the results come in less than 10 minutes. Plus, you get instant HIV testing. No mailing off to the lab. No embarrassing trips to the STD clinic with other people you might know that's burning along with you. Go to stdhometestkit.com right now. Add the KFLEX coupon code and get 25% off on your order.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's up, family? We are back. Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as Tariq Nasheed, also known as King Flex. I want to shout out to everybody and thank everybody who got the Back to School Mackey's package. A lot of people got that. Everybody took advantage of that great sale. Shout out to the people who got that. Don't forget to go to Amazon.com. You can get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3 right now at Amazon.com. You know, all three of the movies are in the top 10 best-selling documentaries on Amazon. Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3 are all in the top 10 of the best-selling documentaries right now. So let's keep that momentum up. I'd like to thank everybody for their support. Y'all can still go to Amazon.com and get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to get a little bit deep on today's show, but let me get a couple of calls before I get into the game. What's going on? Who's calling?
What's going on, Flex? It's your boy Mark from Georgia, man.
What's up, Mark from Georgia? How you doing, family?
Man, I am super great, man. Hey, I just want to thank you, brother. I've been following you now ever since you started making your podcast, bro. But I fell off the game a little bit, bro, about a month or so, man.
Uh-oh.
I thought I had met this woman. I wanted to marry her. And Flex, I found some text messages, brother, by this brother, but his old cat, she used to date.
Oh.
She was, yeah, man. She was his little booty call, bro.
Oh, she was creeping like that?
Well, it was old. It was over with. He was trying to get back in the game, but she was kind of brushing him off, but she wasn't acknowledging that me. She didn't acknowledge that she had a man.
Oh. So in the text messages, did it seem like she hooked up with him, or what was the deal?
No. She was actually ignoring him. But she had an opportunity to say, hey, brother, stop calling me because I have a man. Because he asked her, do you want me to stop contacting you? Do you have a man? And she was like, no, I just been real busy.
Oh, damn. So she was trying to have him as like a backup dude.
Yeah, I don't know, Flex, because he's like in another, he's in D.C., we're in Georgia. So I don't know.
Now, when was the last time you talked to this lady?
Man, about 2 months ago, man. She left my ass because I confronted her about it. Man, we was planning a life together. I was going to buy her a house with my VA loan and everything.
Oh, damn. You had the whole package ready to go ahead and simp off on her.
Yes. Oh, man, you hit me with Keith.
Oh, nigga. Oh, man, I had to do it, dude.
Yeah, Flex, man, I'm gonna end up in the bed crying, man. I'm thinking about committing suicide. I had to call the baby doctors, man.
But now, does this woman have any kids?
No, man, she ticked off all the boxes. She's 42, never been married, don't have any kids. She's a teacher. I was like, man, I just hit the jackpot.
But, man, that was a red flag right there, man. Yeah, kind of. You know, for a woman to be 42 years old, ain't got no kids, and ain't never been married, you know, there's a red flag there. And a teacher, you know, with teachers always be on that low-key shit. They always got some low-key freak up in them. So that was a lot of red flags there. But, man, you're going to be all right, man. You're going to be all right. Don't give up on love. Just be the best you can be. I think you're going to find you another one, man. So don't even trip on that, dude, all right?
I appreciate you, Flex, man. Keep giving out this good game, brother.
No doubt, man. Thanks for the call, fam.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, indeed. My man got that heart broke. My dude said he was going to trick off that VA money. Old dude was going to give up his veteran benefits for that. Let's see who else we got on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
What's going on? This is Ken Wynn from the 661.
What's up, Ken Wynn? Where you at? Up in Palmdale, Lancaster? Where you at?
I'm in Palmdale on the east side.
Oh, there you go. You are the old kid. It's kind of gangsta out there. It's dry, hot, and gangsta.
Oh, yes, indeed.
So what's on your mind, man?
Nothing much, man. I just want to send a shout-out for the Mackish packet that I just received on, Monday? Sunday?
Yes, sir.
Got that on Sunday. Got those boots. I got the T-shirts. Got the movie, so thanks again,
much
my brother.
Respect, man. Thank you for buying it, brother. Thank you for supporting.
No doubt. Yeah, so yeah, right now I'm actually uploading a video onto YouTube because I probably got a couple of my emails. I'm a Michael Jackson performer. I just did a gig on Monday at a basketball tournament in the Valley called Ballin' for Peace, so I'm about to throw that up in just a few more moments. Y'all can check out my little team I got cracking up here.
Oh, cool.
All black. It's all black. Me, and I got this guy named Lorenzo and this girl named Shayanda, and we trying to make it all black.
Oh, okay.
As possible.
That's what's up. So next time, since you're out here in L.A. and you a Michael Jackson performer, maybe you can hook up with Crispy Soda Moisture and he can play Bubbles, and then y'all can go perform somewhere together.
There you go.
All right,
man. What's up,
man. There you go,
man.
Thanks for the call, fam. There you go. Let's see who else we got. One more call. All right, one more call. Hold on. One more damn call. These phones are blowing up. I want to get into some game. What's going on? Who's calling?
Yo, it's Wesley from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. How you doing, fam?
Yo, man, I can't believe this fool. Yo, shout out to you for suing that bum ass dude, man.
Oh,
yeah. Shout out to you for that one.
Yo, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had to do it. And the look on old dude's face was hilarious. I got so much satisfaction looking at the look on his face when he got served papers live on his show. That was hilarious.
Yeah, man. Yo, you should save all those videos when you're saying, fuck you, I'm not giving you money. Save all that and bring that to court.
I'm already knowing, dude. I'm 10 steps ahead of you. I got all that locked down. But thanks for the call, man. For those who don't know what my man is talking about, there's a person who will remain unnamed, but some people who follow me on Ustream know who I'm talking about. A rival. Well, I won't even say rival. The dude is so dusty and raggedy, he's not a rival. But it's a person who, you know, was doing some nefarious things, and he ended up getting served with court papers. I had him served with court papers live on his garbage-ass show, and the look on his face, the look of embarrassment, was hilarious. So he just got his just desserts, and we're going to court in a couple of months. And I talked to my people on Ustream. If you guys have a problem with him as far as him defrauding you, y'all hit me up. Y'all know my email, info@TariqElite.com. But let's get into some game. I'm ready to get into some game, family. I want to talk about money. And jive-ass people. Speaking of jive-ass people and money. See, I was talking a lot about Ferguson on Ustream, the situation down in Ferguson. And I was talking about empowerment of the people down in Ferguson, things to be done to empower the people down in Ferguson, because that's what the people, our brothers and sisters in Ferguson, they need that. They need empowerment, economic empowerment, because when you have a situation where you're not economically empowered, you have no economic base, people can come in there and kill our brothers and sisters, and we don't have the political clout to do anything about it. That's where money comes in. You got to have your money game together. You got to have an economic base to protect yourself as much as you can. We're dealing with the system of white supremacy here. The thing is, you know, when you talk about things like marching, praying, singing, holding up picket signs, doing symbolic gestures, you know, people will go along with that. That's not a problem. That's not a problem at all. But the minute you start talking about economic empowerment, that's when people start switching up. When you start talking about money and empowerment and building, I'm talking about using money to build an economy for your community, especially in the black community, everybody starts shucking and jiving and starts running around in circles and diverting and deflecting. And I want y'all to remember one phrase: money stops bullshit. I want y'all to repeat that phrase to yourself right now. Money stops bullshit. And I have a bullshit stopping mentality. When I do business with people, or when you do business with people, always talk money. When you talk business, business is about money. And we got to be in the business of handling business. We do everything else besides handle business. A lot of us in the black community, we're the most non-business having people on the planet. We don't handle business. We joke, play, laugh, clown, do all of these things. But when it comes time to business, handling business, getting our economics in order, we want to leave that up to other people. And that's a habit that we got to break out of collectively. Money stops bullshit. That's why I gravitated towards a lot of the hustlers growing up, because in the street life, money stopped all the bullshit. In the street life, it was the fuck you pay me mentality. I ain't trying to hear nothing else. Where's the money? I'm not trying to laugh and joke. Where's the money? Just so y'all remember the scene from Scarface when Tony Montana walked into the hotel room. It was a dude trying to bullshit, shuck and jive. He's like, "So, Tony, where are you from? You got the money? You got the stuff? Well, it's nearby." You know, Tony's like, "Hey, fuck all this. Where's the dope, motherfucker? I got money. Where's the dope? Where's the money? Goddamn. Let's just get to the point. Money stops bullshit. If it's going to be something popping off, let's let it get popped off. Let's let it get popped off. If y'all going to shoot and chainsaw, if it's going to be some gangster shit, let's just get into some gangster shit. But let's just stop bullshitting. Let's talk about this money so we can go ahead and get to the point." Just like in the movie Scarface, when they start talking money and getting serious about money, then the guns and the chainsaws break out. The people who are bullshitting, you'll see their real colors. You understand what I'm saying? Money stops bullshit. Because what's going to happen when you start talking about money, either the people are going to bring money to the table, or you're going to see their true colors, which is them not really wanting to do business anyway. Them wanting to get over. That's why the players, the PIs out there on the track, they would always charge a choosing fee. If the girls are out there on the track and grinning and skinning and grinning in a dude's face and he's in the game, he's like, "Hey man, fuck all that skinning and grinning. Where's your choosing fee? The money is going to stop the bullshit." Money stops bullshit. The thing is, in the black community, we have culturally created a bullshit type of realm that we like to wallow in. There's a lot of bullshit that goes on in the black community, and that's historic. because black people have always had to live double lives in America. I had an acting coach, a white guy, real good guy, acting coach, and he was breaking some stuff down talking about acting. He was saying that black people, we naturally have to act every day. You have to be two people living in this country. You have to act a certain way in white, around white people, and you have to act a certain way, or you are used to acting a certain way among black people. And it was real deep the way he was breaking it down. So he was saying black people are just basically natural actors to a certain degree, because you're always performing based on how society is set up. You got to put on your game face all the time. And by black people having to do this so much, sometimes this acting morphs into being a bullshit artist. So we're always in bullshit mode to a certain degree, or we're practicing bullshit. So we learn to bullshit our way through life. And this is why, you know, we don't do too much business with other people, because other people understand that bullshit dynamic that goes on with a lot of us. The bullshitting, chucking and jiving, they understand that dynamic. So a lot of other people don't take interactions with us too seriously, if we're going to be very honest. And I'm not talking about in small numbers. I'm talking about collectively here. Because the thing is, many people in different cultures, they have an economic base where they don't really need to do business with us unless we're their customers. Because they make sure the money stops the bullshit. See, black folks can't really do too much bullshitting around white people. White people already assume that you're going to be full of shit, and the relationship they have with you is a customer or employee type of relationship. So you can bullshit all you want, just get the job done, stay out of my face. We're not going to take you seriously enough to even buy into your bullshit. Just do your job, nigga, and go about your business. It's that type of relationship. And with other groups, like when you go into a Korean grocery store, a Korean convenience store, they ain't trying to hear no bullshit. You can't go in there with the whole, hey, this is my community. They're like, nigga, buy now or leave my store. Buy now or leave my store. The money stops bullshit. They're going to stop your bullshit real quick by asking for money. So what happens is that the bullshit is regulated among other black people. So we've become accustomed to just sitting around bullshitting each other. And black people, we're the only group of people who can literally just sit around all day, 24/7, and just bullshit each other nonstop. Talk about shit you ain't gonna do, gossip, shuck, jive, just a barrage of nonstop bullshit, just a marathon of bullshit running the mouth. This is why when people within the black community starts talking about empowerment and talking about actually building something and creating an economic base and stopping the bullshit talk, the main bullshitters in the black community, they start getting riled up. They start getting riled up. And there's five main bullshitters within the black community who ain't really about no empowerment economically. There's five types of bullshitters in the black community. You have nefarious preachers, and I'm not talking about all preachers. There's some preachers out there who are thorough, but there are nefarious preachers out there who know that they're full of shit, and they just like bullshitting people. So the minute you start talking about, hey man, let's stop depending on the dominant society, let's use some of our resources to build an economic base for the community, the preachers will be the first one. Well, the Lord, we need to pray on it now. We need to look the Lord, we got to pray Jesus. You know, then they'll try to divert you into just focusing on spirituality and not economic prosperity, unless it's for them. And again, I'm not knocking all preachers. There's some preachers out there who are very thorough. Not knocking all preachers at all, but you have people out there who are preachers who are not about economic empowerment. Second type of bullshit artists we have in the black community, the fake hotep niggas. You notice with those fake Hotep niggas, the minute you start talking about actually getting some money and building something, they're like, oh, no, brother. Hold on, brother. Hold on, my brother. I ain't thinking about that white man's dollar. You thinking like that cracker about that capitalism. That's that cracker thinking, brother. That capitalist bullshit, brother. When y'all start hearing that, that's a nigga bullshitting. When you hear dudes talk, you know, and it's always those bummy dudes. The bummy, dusty, sloppy, half a crackhead Hotep niggas, dusty ass dreadlocks. They are major bullshit artists. And when you start talking about money and building something, all of a sudden, they look like the bullshit artists they are. Because what happens is they thrive, the dusty Hotep niggas, they thrive, and preachers too, they thrive on people looking to them for information. Even if it's a little jive-ass information, not good information, but people who halfway sound like they know what they're talking about, people will gravitate towards them to a certain degree. But when you have somebody who's actually building something, those people go into alert because now you're taking away what little shine they're used to. And those Hotep niggas, those fake Hotep niggas, are some of the main Hidden Colors haters you can see. They hate Hidden Colors. That's why they're always talking about people should bootleg it. Fuck Hidden Colors. This should be free. It's always the fake Hotep niggas saying that. Because money stops their bullshit. When you see a Hidden Colors film, or you see somebody who's really about building something, you look at the Hotep niggas as the dusty, broke down niggas they are. Then they go into alert. They get mad and they get riled up. Now, the third group of people who are bullshit artists are the coons. When you start talking about economic empowerment, the coons go right into alert. Uh-oh, he's talking about getting us away from white daddy. No. What about black on black crime? Then the coons start regurgitating white supremacist rhetoric. The coons start deflecting into a bunch of white supremacist rhetoric. Because they're the special Negro. They don't want to offend nobody. They hate other black folks. So talking about doing something that's going to empower black people collectively, oh, the coons going to alert first. And right under the coons, number four, that's the bedwinches. The bedwinches, they're trying to get chosen by white daddy. So any type of talk about black economic empowerment, they're going to be the first ones to thwart it. They're going to be the first ones talking about, hey, let's be all inclusive. Or they'll go in there with a fake political agenda like, well, how about women's rights? Which they don't really care about women's rights. They just want to be divisive for the sake of being divisive. What about women's empowerment? That's a deflection and divisive tactic. And then you have the hood rats. And the hood rats, they're definitely not about economic empowerment in the black community because they're comfortable already. The hood rats have already accepted their lot in life. Hood rats are just on cloud nine. You get a county check, Section 8, whatever, and you get to kick it, party. You're like a grown baby. So they're not trying to be economically empowered because they're good. They're like this. They're satisfied with the crumbs. Section 8 is fine. When you start talking about economic empowerment, they start deflecting. Hey, what? Let's hit the club up. Let's get our drink on. Let's get our smoke on. What's all that empowerment talk? No. So the thing is, it's very important for us to not be thwarted by those five types of people in the black community who will try to thwart economic empowerment efforts. Because when you talk money, you see the real them come out. Money stops bullshit. And this is why when I do things, I like to do things as a group. Because a lot of times when I do things collectively, I'm talking about financially now. When I'm putting together projects financially by myself, I end up becoming a target, and a lot of black people become targets. That's why I like crowdfunding efforts. I like funding efforts where we can get a lot of people involved. Just like with the Hidden Colors film, a lot of people were involved, which was a great thing. Which was a great thing. So now you don't target one person. Because when you start doing stuff on your own, people with disingenuous intentions will target you. In Ferguson, we know what's going on down in Ferguson. I donated a grand to an organization called Heal St. Louis. One of the people behind the organization gave me a shout out on Twitter for donating a grand to the organization because I like to help the people down there. When the person gave me a shout out, Negro Twitter went nuts. All these people, the five people I named on Twitter, because these people are on Twitter a lot, the hate was heavy. The hate was heavy. The coons and bedwinches went wild. And there was a lot of slandering of me going on this whole weekend on Twitter just for giving a donation. People were saying, how is this? Don't you take a donation from that Tariq? He don't like black women. Don't you do that. And all of that, those are smoke screens. When people start talking that Tariq don't like black women shit, those are smoke screens. When people start bullshitting and lying, those are smoke screens. That's one of the most common lies about me. I don't like black women. I want you guys to find any show that I've ever done where I said I do not like black women. I've been with a black woman for 7 damn years. Why would I not like black women? Most of the women I've dated are black. I get mad cooperation from black women. Black women come to my lectures. Black women buy my books. Have I got a wonderful mother who's beautiful in black? What reason would I have to not like black women? I have great relationships with black women. All of my relationships with black women have been wonderful. You don't see none of my exes coming out shitting on me. And I don't shit on them. I have real good relationships with all the women I've dated who are black. But that's neither here nor there. Just the fact that people, that sounds very negative. Something that you can't prove, but it sounds negative. And if you say it enough, you can try to get it to stick. But the thing is, like I said, back to Ferguson. I gave the money to Ferguson. So there were people down there in Ferguson who are taking advantage of the whole situation. There are people down there who are fake activists, because everybody who's down there marching with their hands up, you got some agent provocateurs all over the place, which have been shown in certain videos. You got a lot of people down there who's not really too concerned about making any progress. They like, because all the cameras are down there and certain people can get hood shine. There are a few people out there who are becoming celebrities on their little block. Because now you got CNN down there interviewing random people, and now you got people in the hood who got a little camera time. Now it has gone to their heads. And I'm not talking about all, but there's a few people down there doing some real foul things. That's why I've helped with people who are doing some real legitimate things down there. And there were some people I called out on Twitter and on my live Ustream show. There was one lady, young lady in particular, who started this whole Twitter troll of me this weekend. She is a woman named Netta something. She's on, and I talked about this on my Sunday show. She's trying to be an activist down there, and she's trying to be the next Rosa Parks, and she's trying to be Coretta Scott King, but she's really down there trying to get a lot of shine. She's out there taking ratchet selfies with her friends. They're out there twerking and dancing when they're supposed to be protesting and marching and doing stuff. And she was saying some very negative things about me, why I didn't give money to the Brown family, which I donated to one of the funds, by the way. There's a lot of people I donated to that I didn't say anything about, by the way. And I asked her, I'm like, well, since you're contacting me on Twitter, ma'am, what money have you given? And she went nuts. When I asked this woman about money, she started sending all the trolls. Tariq said, I ain't doing nothing. He said, I'm out here every day marching and singing and praying. I got a prayer vigil. So she went into this whole spiel about what she's doing. All her trolls started hitting me up, mad, creating a smokescreen. And the reason why they were creating a smokescreen is because it came out a little bit later that this young lady has been accused of skimming donation money out there in St. Louis and Ferguson. This young lady has been accused by people down there for misusing some of the donation funds. And it all came out. If y'all look at my Sunday's Ustream show, all of this stuff came out. They said this woman was out there buying beer. Her and her friends and her people, they were out there buying hotel rooms with donation money, trying to justify it, saying they needed a place to stay while they were doing activist work. Swimsuits they were buying. They were bailing out some of their friends who had prior warrants that had nothing to do with the protest. This is what they've been accused of. People were asking them for receipts because they were going to Walmart and spending a whole bunch of money and then not accounting for the stuff they were spending. So the woman outed herself, basically. And that's the problem. You got a lot of people out here who are not really used to building, and they don't want to build anything. They just want to take an opportunity to turn up. You don't want to build anything. You just want to get enough money to turn up. And that's the problem with a lot of people out here. When it's time to really break bread and talk money and talk building, people want to double down on bullshit. And I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, don't fall for that. Don't fall for people who want to double down on bullshit. Money talks, bullshit walks, as the old saying goes. People hit me up all the time. Tariq, man. Hey, Hotep. And I've said this a million times. Hey, Hotep, Tariq. Tariq, Hotep. Assalamu alaikum, Hotep, Tariq. I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? What you want, man? Hey, man, we want to do have you do a lecture. Hotep, Hotep. We want you to do a hidden color screening. Hotep, Hotep. Okay, this is this much, that much. This I go right into the money. I stop the bullshit very quick. I go immediately into the money. I'm all business. I'm like, okay, my lecture fee is this plus travel. Oh, okay, well, brother, see, well, it's for handicapped orphans, brother. And what we do, we're going to sell bean pies. Brother, my fee is this. Hit me up when you want to go ahead and bring me down there, brother. I'll stop that very quick. I'm not in the bullshit business. Business is business. We got to get in that business mindset. Let's stop getting on that fake Hotep jive-ass bullshit our way around each other. See, when we start talking business with each other, the Negro mind looks at that as something negative. You have a lot of black people out here who will say stuff like, well, man, Tariq, with those Hidden Colors movies, you're leeching off the black community. I had somebody tweet me that not too long ago. Somebody said, with the Hidden Colors movies, you're leeching off the black community financially. Look at those terms, and a lot of black people think like that. If you're making money within the black community and you're a black person, it's a negative thing in their mind. Now, other groups make money off us every single day, but the slave mentality thinks that that is normal. But the fact that of another black person making money with a black person, there always has to be some kind of negative connotation there in the minds of people. We got to get rid of that. Because that's the bullshit talking. We got to stop that bullshit and be about our paper. Hey, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show, family. Don't forget to hit me up on Ustream this Sunday. We'll chop up more game. You guys have a great week. I will holla.